We have a good number of young people and children, and so God has wonderfully blessed us here at Powhatan, and each one of us, I trust, is wonderfully ministered to from one another to each other. So we do appreciate our senior citizens; they are a wonderful testimony to us. And so, what we want to do is we're gonna begin with our youngest member, and let me just mention too that some folks that are not here this morning at are in their 80s, and we're sorry that they're not able to be with us. But Miss Inez West is 90 years old, and as we've already read from her card, she's recovering from gallbladder surgery, and so we just want to remember her today. Miss Pearl Wood, who also is in her 80s, and I'm not sure exactly what Miss Pearl's age is, but 89? Yes. And also, I believe Miss Penny Barber is also in her 80s. Is that Annie? Isn't that correct? And Miss Penny we've talked with Miss Penny, but it's been a good while since Miss Penny's been able to be with us here at Powhatan, but certainly want to remember her. And Kenneth Cook is 81 years old, and Kenneth is not with us this morning, but we certainly want to remember him. Now, let me just share these names with you, so maybe there's another senior citizen that I'm missing that's not present with us this morning, but let me read these names, and then if we're missing somebody, if you'll share that with us so we can recognize them. Miss Ada Kettle is with us this morning. Mr. Bunk Cole's with us. Miss Shirley Hatcher's with us. Miss Nell Carrington's present with us. Margaret Lee Blinson's with us. And Margaret Johnson's with us. And also Miss Joyce Blinson. Now, did we miss any? Oh, Bill Evans, yes. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry, Bill. Your name is at the top of the list. Yeah, your name's right at the top of the list, Brother Bill. But is there any name that I haven't called that somebody is aware of that maybe that senior citizen is not present this morning? Well, this morning, let's first of all, we want to recognize we have two senior citizens that are 81 years old, and I'm going to recognize the lady first, and that's Miss Ada Kettle. Miss Ada, we love you and we appreciate you, and we welcome you to come and share with us for a moment or two if you will. Oh, is that right?
Thank you.
Now, Brother Bill Evans is our next. He's our youngest of one of the youngest of our oldest. Yeah. And I know now Bill's not anxious to stand up and give a speech, but bless his heart, it was enough to get him to come to sit on the front pew. Yeah. That's what it is. Some of them are shy. Amen. Yeah. you're not so shy that you won't stand up and let us give you a round of applause, will you? I mean, you're not that shy, are you? They're not going to slap you. They're not going to slap. Are you finished, Bill? Yeah. Some people have lived their 35th birthday a number of times. You're saying that some folks here may have lived their 35th or their 39th birthday over and over and over a couple of times. That's right. Thank you, Bill. And our next oldest member is really a shy person. That's Brother Bunk Cole. Bunk seldom ever has anything to share, but we've tried to encourage him to come and share with us. Bunk, if you'd like to come right over here at this microphone. All right. That's all right. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful to have time to Amen. Thank you, Bump. Bunk's 82 years old. 82. And now our next youngest of our oldest is Miss Shirley Hatcher. Miss Shirley, did you want to share with us? Amen. Miss Shirley's 83 years old. It just seems like yesterday that you were just being recognized for the first time at 80 years old. And now it's already 83. They sure do, don't they?
We have a good church, but I don't know all these new people by name. But maybe if we get our scripture out, I will become to know more. And I thank the borough of Ben and Becky and Allison Book to help me get to church. And God bless all of us.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. And now we're going to jump 2 years to 85. Miss Nell Carrington is our next oldest member. Miss Nell? Amen. Amen. Miss, let me just share this. Miss Nell, back, I guess it's been six years ago, maybe 7 years ago, was going out the door, and she was just having good fellowship and got to I think she was so wrapped up in the fellowship, she got to that step out there and forgot that the step was there. And bless her heart, she fell flat. She fell just face over onto the concrete out there, the hard surface out there. And we were just so thankful that I guess the worst she got was just a cut on her nose. But my goodness, that could have been so tragic. But we thank the Lord that Miss Nell wasn't hurt any worse than she was, and it's good to have her, see her every Sunday here. And that's so true. Her daughter is faithful to get her here, as Shirley had mentioned. Other folks too that are faithful to make sure that they come by to pick her up and get her here. We appreciate that. Our next oldest member, youngest oldest member, is Miss Margaret Lee Blinson, 88 years old. Miss Margaret Lee.
And I remember
That's right. That's enough. Well, the Blinson family has certainly been a wonderful, wonderful testimony here at Powhatan Church. Long time back. And as Miss Margaret Lee mentioned, she's the last of her family, but her family has been a great part of this church. We're thankful that the Lord still has her with us today.
That's
right. There's a wonderful story behind that, too. Someday, maybe we'll... let me just share. I'll tell you what. I may just hold off on that until we get to Miss Joyce Blinson. But our next oldest member... Margaret Lee, we love you. We appreciate you. Our next oldest member is 91 years old, and that's Miss Margaret Johnson. Amen. Miss Margaret? Amen. Thank you, Margaret. And now our oldest member. And I'm going to ask Miss Joyce if she'll come to the pulpit here. Miss Joyce, can you come to the pulpit? Miss Joyce is 94 years old. Make her welcome. I know it. I know you can. Yep. Just a little flower.
Well, I'm glad to be here today. The Lord has really blessed me to let me be able to come. Because I've had some bad nights a while, but thank the Lord, I'm better. And Melba, she's my caretaker. And if I call her, she comes. But if I get feeling real bad of a night, I will not call her because she will get right on the road and come, and I don't want her coming in the nighttime like that. It's too dangerous. So I rely on her all the time. She's the only one that's close by. But it's been this way now for a right good while. And I've had two nights in the last while that I could not sleep. I don't know why. But I stayed up all night. And the next morning I'd tell her when she called me. But, you know, she thinks I ought to call her and let her come on. But I just can't do that. I love her too good for her to get on that road from Raleigh and come to my house at night. But she's so attentive to me. She tries to come one day a week and take me out to eat, and we just have a good day, just me and her, going this way and that. And she helps me keep up with all the things, the business part, because I'm no business person. I don't know nothing much about that. But if it weren't for her, I don't know which way I would turn. But the church people, they have been good to me too. And this has been my church ever since I was old enough that I could walk from over there where the tractor place is through these woods. We would line up in our footpath, and we would come through the woods to church. And we also had to walk that way to school. And I know when all the Jones children were born, and before they were old enough to go to school, they would come out in the yard a day, and we would just wave at them, you know. And it was a good life and a bad life. You had to walk as you come to school. And if it poured rain, most of the people had an old Model T, and your folks would come after you. And that was grand to have a ride home instead of walking. But anyway, we made it to school. And it's always been a good place to me to live, and I've always lived in a mile radius ever since I've been married. And I lost my husband, and life hadn't been the same without him. But the Lord has provided. So that's the way my life has been. And we farmed for a lot of years. And then my husband's brother had a lot of greenhouses. And when we visited him, he went to tell us all about the what he do, and said, "Why in the world don't you have a greenhouse, J.C.?" So he built one, and the next year he built another one, until we acquired five. And we tended to them greenhouses, but we had to quit farming. We got some folks to help him barn tobacco, and they were all teenagers. That's all they could find. The last year we had tobacco. And when they was in the field of priming, he was a driving truck. And they just primed off everything. And he went and told them, said, "Don't y'all do this," said, "cause the barn won't hold it," said, "and what do you think I'll do with it?" And one of them looked at him and said, you'll leave it in the field till next week." And so that's exactly what we done. Lost some of it. So he said, "We can't raise no more tobacco." He said, "We just can't do it." Couldn't even get nobody to help him to hang it. They was all too young or too old. So our life has been, it was topsy-turvy sometimes. But the Lord always give us strength to do what we needed to do. And hard work will not kill anybody. It'll hurt their feelings sometimes, but it won't kill them. And so we just worked together for all these years. And then when the children grew up and they wanted to go to college, and we managed to send the first one, and she was a teacher. And then when Melba come along, she took a business course, and she didn't go but 1 year, and so did Dwight. And Jean, she went to Greensboro, and she made her 4 years. She was in music. So that's the gist of my life, is just about as far back as I can remember. But when you come to Powhatan, if you didn't behave yourself, you would get a thump on the head. So we know that we better behave ourselves while we're in here. You never heard no fuss. And the one thing that I'll never have forgotten, we were here, it was on a Saturday. We used to have church Saturday and Sunday. And there was a lady sitting right there behind us, or in the front of us one, with just an ordinary small baby. It could eat. And Mama had brought an apple to give to our baby to keep him quiet. And this baby got kind of ornery. And so Mama turned around and gave the woman some of the apple. And what you talking about? That woman got up and went out of this church just as fast as she could, because she didn't want the baby to mess up its dress with a raw apple. So we all had our ups and downs, and a lot of times we walked. We had an old Sari and then just a two-seated buggy. And when we come on the buggies, we'd have been my next littlest brother. We'd have to sit in the foot of the buggy with my mom and daddy, and all the rest of the family could get in the old carriage, we called it, and come to church. But that wasn't a very good place to sit, in the foot of a buggy with a big old horse pulling you along. And it didn't feel good when he would switch his tail right in your face. But we always tried to be at church every time that we could. And so I still love to come to church, but I don't get out at night. I just never got used to that since J.C. passed away. And so I don't know nothing else to tell y'all, but I feel like I'm now a has-been. And I still hope that the Lord will let me come to church as long as he lets me live, and then I'll be satisfied. We had tried to farm and do and make something, and seemed like we didn't know, we'd just get by, we'd eat and get enough to wear, but that's about as far as we could go. And so one day we was in the field pulling corn to harvest, and J.C. looked up and he said, "There comes that old tax man." And of course we didn't have nothing then, and so he come on up. I think J.C. had a few dollars that he gave him. And so after then, J.C. said, "Well, I'm going to start tithing." I said, "All right." And so when Saturday preaching day come, we had it Saturday and Sunday. And me and the children didn't come on Saturday. There was just so much I just couldn't do it all. But J.C. quit no matter what he was doing, and he'd come to church. And he believed in that. And when we started tithing, we always had something to turn into the church. And I'm thankful for that. And so that's about the gist of my life, which has been poorly to you all. But I'm still hoping that I can continue to come to Powhatan. And a lot of them tell me, "Why don't you let so-and-so come down and pick you up?" I said, "Well, as long as I can drive, I don't see no need in me sitting here, when a lot of time I might not be ready when they come by and have to sit there and wait for me, and they wouldn't like it, and I wouldn't either." And so I'm still driving, and I'm going to keep on if I don't have no wreck. Until my license run out, and then I don't dare let me have any more. So I thank you all for listening to my mess. And so I hope I keep seeing all of you, and I can just still be happy at Powhatan as long as I live. And this will be my church.
Miss Joyce Blinson. Asked Miss Joyce to share about tithing. It was Miss Joyce who came to the church, and the church was going through a time back, it's been many years ago now, but the church was going through a time of financial struggle. And JC and Joyce came to the church and said, well, you know, if we start taking 10% and we start giving it to missions, and the Lord will start blessing this church. And sure enough, it was just like clockwork. The church decided that they were going to start giving 5% to home missions and 5% of the offering to foreign missions. And this church hasn't had a financial problem since that time. And so Miss Joyce and Brother J.C. were the couple that came and recommended that. And also, let me share this with you, too. And I know that our time's gone, but Miss Joyce, when Brother J.C. passed away, he was our oldest member, and we had an oldest member's recognition day, and we recognized the oldest member. And so when Brother J.C. passed away, it fell to Miss Joyce. She was our oldest member then, and Miss Joyce was recognized that first year after Brother J.C. passed away. She was recognized as our oldest member, and the next year she wouldn't have it. And it was her suggestion, she says, I want to recognize all of my friends, because all of us have been here for a long time, and the Lord's blessed us to be here this long. And she says, I won't be recognized if my Christian friends can't be recognized as well. And so we went to the oldest members Sunday, and so we appreciate her for that. God bless you. Let's give all of our oldest members a round of applause. I want to ask you, and we're going to close here. It's just going to be just a few moments more. I want to share with you something that the Lord shared with me about our oldest members. This morning, as we celebrate our senior citizens, our oldest members, we're reminded that they have lived through some of the worst of times in America. The Great Depression, for example. All of our ladies had their lives in some way were touched by the Great Depression. And they have also lived through some of the best of times in America. The post-World War II era was a wonderful time. Probably most, if not all, grew up on the farm where life was hard but simple. Families were close, neighbors were true neighbors, and life, spiritually speaking, was rich and full. Is that right? I think that's pretty accurate, as I've fellowshiped with our senior citizens. Church attendance was at an all-time high. Christ was not just in the weekly or biweekly church attendances. Christ was in the home. Our senior citizens were taught the value and the importance of trusting and believing in the Lord. And sadly, they have lived today to see this nation ever so quickly slipping away from Christian values and the principles that they grew up with. This morning, just for a moment, if you'll turn with me in the Old Testament to Jeremiah chapter 6, I want to read to you a verse of Scripture that should speak to every heart this morning. If you're a young person, you ought to grab hold of this prophecy of Jeremiah and hold on to it. Jeremiah, in his first few years of prophetical service, was called by God to warn Judah of their prevailing apostate or appetite for sin. They were on a path of spiritual rebellion. The nation of the southern kingdom of Judah was on a path of spiritual rebellion, spiritual wickedness, and immorality. And God, through the lips of Jeremiah, was calling them back to the old path, his path of spiritual blessings, his path of true peace and joy, and his path of true happiness. My goodness, how wonderful it'd be if all of a sudden you could wave a wand and we could go back to those times. Certainly those were hard times, as these ladies will testify. They were hard times. They were farming times. And yet they were wonderful times, spiritually speaking, and relationship speaking. There was just a wonderful peace that permeated the land back when many of our, across the land, we had many farm families. But here in Jeremiah chapter 6, God calls Jeremiah to speak to the southern kingdom of Judah. And he says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" When you think about where our senior citizens, how our senior citizens have grown up through through history and what they've seen and what they see today, you think about where our nation is today. Jeremiah says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." You know, we're living in a day today when this nation is having less and less delight in the words in the Word of God. Isn't that a picture of our nation today? God's Word speaks one thing and federal judges speak another. Our nation's rules and regulations are now set for the benefit of the willful sinner rather than for God's rules and regulations set for the salvation of man. Our nation, like Judah in Jeremiah's day, is not listening to God. We've left the old path of God's rich blessings and have set out on a path that is even now calling down God's judgment upon us. Jeremiah is not whispering God's word in Judah, in some back alleyway of Judah. He's calling out at the top of his lungs. Verse 11, he says, "Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in." God called the people to repentance, but they refused. And so God, unlike many fathers and mothers today that promise their children chastisement, but they never follow through, God will follow through with full remedy. He says, "I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned into others." My goodness, to think about immigration today. You know, what can we do about immigration? Well, the government seems to think that there's nothing they can do about immigration. And I really believe that that's God's doing. Immigration today is God's doing. We think we live such wicked and sinful lives here in this nation today, reject God and push him away. And so God says, "I've blessed your land. Now I'm going to give your land to somebody else." And that's exactly what's happening. And it's not just Mexico that's coming across the borders, my friends. There's a lot of other nationalities coming across the borders and getting their driver's license and getting their ID cards. And you know, it's possible that Mexico could vote in the President of the United States this year or the next time. But it says, "And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. There were false prophets prophesying blessing rather than cursing. Many convicted of their sins are comforted by false prophets, giving the sinners God's blessing when God's true prophet is warning of judgment." Now listen to what Jeremiah says here. Listen to what he says. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord." Verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for what? Old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." The people are already on the wrong path in Judah. And God calls Jeremiah to stand at that passageway, stand at that road, at that fork in the road. He calls the people to stand in the fork of that road and look back and look at that old path. God calls them to stand as though they have come to a fork in the road and look for the old path and to follow it. And yet the new path today is more inviting. The new path today is less difficult to travel. Therefore, many desire the comfort of the new path, and they reject the old path. And the old path is following the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ, following the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of following the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And God can restore that to this nation if this nation will turn around. But my friend, listen to me. This morning, I'm not speaking to you about going out and trying to turn this nation around for the Lord. I'm not calling you to go out and try to turn this state around for the Lord. I'm not calling you to go out and try to turn even the community of Clayton around for the Lord, or even the community where you live. I'm telling you this morning that right where you are in your personal standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're on that new path, if you're winging down the road of that new path today, you can come. God calls you. He invites you to come. And step out, step off of that new path and get back onto that old path that so many have gone home to a great celebration as they met their day of death. As they met the death angel, they've gone home to a wonderful blessing, peace and comfort and rest. And you too, if you're walking on that new path, God calls you to get off of that new path and get onto the new path. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Who is the Lord Jesus talking about? He's talking about himself. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And you, my friends, today, you can either listen to the world and you can listen to federal judges and talk about all the freedom that people ought to have to do as they please and act as they please, but that's the new path. That's the new path. And if you're walking down that new path, you need to get off of that new path. Get on that old path. It's a difficult path. God says in this world, Christians will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What path are you walking on today? What path are you walking on today? God says this in the last part of that verse. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? God will show you the old path. God will put you on the old path. And walk therein, he says, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, look at that, but they said, we'll not walk therein. Well, let me tell you something. You're still breathing air. And as long as you're still breathing air, you can answer God's call. Get off of that new path. Get onto that new path. I appreciate our senior citizens. They have a wonderful testimony. And my goodness, what a witness they are to how far we've fallen. How far this nation has moved away from the Lord. Why is the nation having so many problems? Because they've rejected God. Because they've got off on this. They've decided to create themselves a whole new path. We don't have to follow that new path. We can hold on. And if you're on that old path, hold on to that old path. Stay on that old path. Don't let anybody move you off of it. The old ways are the best ways. And each one of these ladies and each one of these gentlemen can testify of that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your blessings. Father, I thank you for our senior citizens. Father, what a wonderful testimony they are. Father, our oldest member, Miss Joyce, 94 years old, still drives to church. Lord, I thank you for her. I thank you for each one of our senior citizens, Lord. And even if they're not there, some of them, their eyesight is gone. They can't drive anymore, Father. The government won't let them get behind the steering wheel, Father. But there's others that are anxious, and they're still going to, they want to be at church. And there's others that are willing to come by and pick them up and bring them to church. Father, some of us would use any excuse in the world not to have to come. Just don't want to go. Just have no desire to go. But I thank you for their testimony, Father. If the door is open and their health is right, they're going to be in your house. And Father, this certainly is where Christians come together to fellowship. But Father, the true church of Jesus Christ is in the very heart of the individual. We can be in Powhatan Church all day long and not be in Christ. Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made a personal commitment to you, said, Lord, come into my heart. Live your life in me. I surrender to you, Father. I ask forgiveness of my sins. Lord, if they get with you one-on-one, personally, and pray that prayer, you will send that precious gift of the Holy Spirit to take up abode in their heart. And from that day on, they can listen, and as they'll listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit, they'll be on that old path that leads to eternal life. Father, I ask your blessing upon that one that may have given their life to Christ many years ago, and yet they're not walking that way. Their testimony to the world is a testimony of the world. And Lord, not a testimony of Christ. I pray for them this morning too, Father. I pray that they'll rededicate their heart to you and that they'll be back on that old path, Father, as you beckon them to do that very thing. I pray that you'd move upon their heart and that they'd have the courage and the strength and be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit and step off of the new path and back onto the old. Father, this morning, do for these who are weak this morning for what they can't do for themselves. But we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. While we sing our invitation,